Hey everybody, I want to give you a gift before we dive in. If you're at the beginning of your content marketing journey, or if you've been doing it a while, but it's not working as well as you want and you feel like something is missing, I want to give you a roadmap to help you get more ROI out of your content. This is my blog remix method, and it's a shortcut to go from one blog to dozens of pieces of content in less than 60 minutes. Even if you have webinars, podcasts, and video content, you can take the transcripts and follow the guidelines in the exact same way. It's a great resource. It's free. You should have it. If you haven't downloaded it already, grab it right now at justinsimon.co/remix. If you're listening to the podcast feed, you can click the link right below and download it. Get it, read it, apply it. It takes you step by step to get more value out of your blog content and get it in front of your audience. So grab the guide, get a blog, and get it running. That's my blog remix method, and it's free at justinsimon.co/remix. Hey everybody, before we get started, I wanna thank my friends at Hatch for producing this episode. You can get unlimited podcast editing and strategy for one flat rate by visiting hatch.fm. All right, let's get in the show. Welcome to Distribution First, the show where we flip content marketing on its head and focus on what happens after you hit publish. Each week, I share playbooks, motivations, stories, and strategies to help you repurpose and distribute your content because you deserve to get the most out of everything you create. Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Distribution First. Super pumped, super pumped for this episode because I've got Matt Barker on the show. If you've been on LinkedIn for like 5 minutes, you've probably seen something of Matt's fly through your feed, even if you're not following him. I've followed him for a long time now and we've chatted back and forth over the years. So it's fun to finally catch up with Matt on the show. And today we're really going to talk about LinkedIn in particular and how to create some really easy, I would think, LinkedIn content. But first, Matt, welcome to the show, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I think this might even be the first time with Matt over a video. I can't remember.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I think we've probably seen each other here and there over the interwebs and some of the groups we've been in. But the first time we're actually chatting.
It might even be your video content plus your course, which I've watched, and that makes me think that I've met you before. So
I love that, actually. That's why I love podcasting too. Like, I'll get on calls with folks and they're like, oh, it feels like I already know you a little bit. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I love that part about it. So yeah, I think for me today, I would love, you had this piece of content that I checked out a couple weeks ago, and I feel so strongly about the same way. I've got different kind of maybe thoughts as far as how to frame it up, but really it was like, how do I write 7 days worth of content for LinkedIn in 2 to 3 hours? The crux of the whole thing being, most people wake up on Monday, have no idea what they're going to do, feel overwhelmed, and don't do it. They wake up on Tuesday, it's in the back of their mind, they know they should be posting something, they know I got to be out in front of my audience. I can't think of anything unique to say. I guess I'll just skip it. Something else always fills the void. And that feels like that's kind of the background for you in that as well.
Yeah, 100%. Like, pretty much exactly what you just described was what I was when I first started, you know, over those like first 2-3 months, kind of just writing content. Didn't really know what's doing, going in blind. And yeah, that's pretty much how I felt the whole time. So I think maybe how I approach things now comes from that experience, which, you know, most people go through anyways, don't they? So
before we jump into the kind of the meat of the plan here and how folks can actually create this batch of content, for lack of a better word, like, what was kind of maybe the tipping point for you when you were like, all right, I got to find a better way? What was that for you?
It was actually, I don't remember like a specific moment where I was just like, this needs to stop. When I look back, I remember there was like a weekend we were staying in a friend's flat and I just started posting. It was like a month or two in, and like I woke up, I opened my phone and I was like literally opening just the LinkedIn app, trying to think of something to write in to the app, like directly in. And it took me literally like an hour and a half. I didn't know what to write. I didn't know where to go. Like, I didn't, at this point, I just had no system to get ideas. I didn't have any direction. I didn't know what I was posting. And it was just that experience for me, doing that every day over and over again, was just very stressful. And I'm the kind of person who likes to feel like I'm making progress if I feel like I'm kind of stagnant with something, I get frustrated and it kind of grinds me down. So it just got to a point where I was just like, this is just feels like a waste of my time. So I need to change something, try something different. And yeah, I started batch writing and kind of went from there.
I've had the exact same experience. Again, I can't think of like maybe a definitive time where I was like, I'm making this shift over. Mm-hmm. And I think still from time to time, like I've done this long enough, and I'm sure you could do this too, where it's like, even if that 7 days of batching doesn't go perfectly to plan, let's say you only got 3 of them done, or you know, life happens, right? You've got enough reps in at this point where you can go and create something without it being too much of a heavy lift. But like, I still find like the days where I don't have it like thought out or even some sort of plan, I still fall in the trap of like, well, I've been sitting here for 2 hours and I don't have anything great, or it's like I get distracted and I move over here. I'm like, can I find a better hook for this thing? Like maybe let's rewrite this hook 20 times and see if it turns out any better. So I feel like it really does. Even if you can't stick to the plan perfect, I think it allows you the freedom to at least free up. Man, I mean, I bet you could easily free up 5-6 hours a week for the average sort of person creating content on LinkedIn.
For sure. Yeah, I've got clients who hopefully they'll get quicker over time, but clients who spend 10 up to 20 hours a week writing content, you know, obviously usually when I work with them, it gets quicker and quicker. So hopefully we can work on something with this guy. But I can say now, like, even for me, after writing, I've probably written over like 10,000 LinkedIn posts now, for clients and myself included. And there's times when I do sit down and try and write something completely off the cuff, and I still can't do it. It's still really stressful for me. So I just need to be in that time, that zone, that specific environment for me to be able to put out the stuff that I want to put out, really.
I know the process that you've had for creating LinkedIn content. I'm almost positive, because I feel like this is how it happens, or how it's happened for me, is that process then bleeds into other things you're creating. So like, you've got a structure for how you're probably doing newsletters now. You've got a structure for how you're like, you probably built in these processes to make sure that content can actually get out. Have you seen that with the stuff you're creating as well?
Yeah, definitely. Early on, finding out different frameworks, different copywriting frameworks, that was definitely something that kind of hit home with me and helped me develop a lot as a writer, in terms of not just in terms of LinkedIn content, but like you say, further down the line now with newsletters, just having a kind of idea in my head or on my screen, kind of what needs to go where, that really helps. And then kind of adding those constraints in kind of allows you to be a bit more creative, I find, when I write content. I mean, as I'm sure you can probably testify for, the more constraints there are involved and the more kind of structured and organized it is from the start, the better the content is and the more creative you can be. I definitely feel like that. I know there's people who just don't agree at all, but obviously it's all context in terms of kind of what you're writing. But yeah, I know now with my newsletter, there's going to be, you know, what I'm going to write at the start, how I'm going to structure it, what I'm going to lead into next, and how I'm going to deliver the info below. And it's got to a point now where I don't need to have that kind of pre-prepped on the page. I kind of have an idea of it in my head, and it's kind of muscle memory, I guess.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that, like you said, just comes from the reps. And so I think my goal for this show is to give people, not maybe at the micro level of each individual post, we can maybe get into that depending on time, but really at a macro level of structure for the week and structure for the content that I can be creating every single week. So let's start with number one in your sort of structure here, as far as how to write 7 days of content in 2 to 3 hours a week. Again, probably saving you close to between 6 and 10 if you actually followed the structure. Number one being ideal content schedule. So we touched on it, but maybe talk through a little bit about what an ideal content schedule looks like for you or for your clients, and how that might adjust depending. I'm sure different clients might have different schedules. Like, how do you think through that?
So the idea of an ideal content schedule is that you kind of high level, you map out Monday to Friday what kind of post you want to be posting on each day of the week. So it could be Monday, I want to post a client result. I want to share some results that I've been delivering for clients. Tuesday, I want to show, this is how I do something. So deliver some value to my audience. Wednesday, I might want to promote my newsletter or something like that. So it's kind of high level, just mapping out what specific type of post I want to post on each day of the week. So even if I did sit down on the day to write a piece of content, even then I would know what I'm going to write. I'd have some direction. So if I sat down Monday and I just didn't have the time to batch all my content, at least Monday morning, I know, okay, I'm getting a client result post out here. So I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to go and find a client result that I've delivered recently. Let's start writing a post on that and seeing where that goes. And how that would look for different clients. Typically, I tend to approach that kind of ideal content schedule from the kind of 80-20 idea where, you know, 80% of the time you're delivering value, you're sharing stories and that sort of thing. But then the other 20% of the time you're making an ask, you're making an offer, you're trying to get your audience to convert onto something. So the client result posts on a kind of Monday would be the usual kind of the only kind of bottom funnel piece of content that I'd put out. And then the rest of the week is to nurture my audience. And to be fair, for most of my clients, I pretty much do the same thing. Some clients actually don't want to put out any bottom funnel content, which is completely fine. They have other ways to convert clients with cold outreach and that sort of stuff. So LinkedIn is actually more of a just a nurturing platform, you know, staying top of mind.
Yeah, it's interesting because like for me, I do very similar things that you do working with clients. I tend to work inside like with software companies to help distribute their content, LinkedIn being a main channel for a lot of these B2B companies. And it's funny, you mentioned the 80-20 rule. Because when I go in and audit these companies, it's like 95-5 promotional versus value add. And even the value add is promotional because it's, I think one of the things people don't realize is asking for a click to view your content is an ask. That's not a give. So like you providing the world with this wonderful piece of content you made and you make, you know, come and check it out. Like I've given this to you. That's still an ask for me just scrolling my phone. And so that's one of the things that I tend to have to work on a lot with SaaS clients is, all right, give away the value. Be comfortable giving it away. And I think one of the things that a schedule like this does is it allows, whether it's a founder, whether it's a full-on company, whether it's even solopreneurs like us, to build a schedule that's like, I can feel 100% comfortable giving away this value for free. Because I know I'm going to have another post that sells something, or I know I'm going to have another post that promotes something else down the road.
Yeah, it's that. It's knowing what each post plays in terms of your overall approach. That's the main kind of idea that I try to get across to people. It's your client result post or your post where you're asking for something that's going to get like your reach, your engagement. It's not going to be great. You just need to respect that that is playing a very big part in the whole picture, because all of your other content is warming your audience up to that.
So let's talk a little bit about like a client result post, because that's number two on your list of ways to kind of like frame that up. So in my world, I think of things like case studies. A lot of companies have these like full-on case studies that are buried behind their website that nobody goes and reads. So like, what are some of the ways you think about if you're sitting there on Monday and saying, I know I need to come up with a client result post, like what goes into that?
So it'll either be, I'm either thinking about a client of mine that has either the overall kind of transformation from start to now, or I'm looking at a very specific result from like the last week or the last 2 weeks. So there's a post I've got up here, I think, which kind of shows the transformation from before and now, where I kind of talk about, you know, back in December when we first started working together, they were getting this many impressions on their post. Now they're getting this many impressions. Here's how we've done it. So I'm going at it with a view of kind of showing the transformation and explaining how that's happened. And then that in turn is going to attract people who would want to work with me and want that same result. And then the other way of looking at it is, you know, I'm writing content for clients every week or helping clients write their content. They are getting results as we're working together. So, you know, for example, if someone puts a post out, they get a lead back from it. I'll say, okay, so last week, one of my clients got a lead from this simple text post, and then kind of show roughly how that post was kind of structured, why it worked, da da da. And just from doing that, I'm showing that A, I'm getting results for clients, and I'm also showing you how it's done again. So it's kind of doing two birds with one stone, you know, showing the result, proving that I know what I'm talking about and showing how I do it. So a prospect or someone who potentially wants to work with me can say, okay, well, that seems fairly achievable for me.
Is there any sort of in the bet? And I know you talked a lot about this because you've done it so often, you don't even think about it, but I'm curious, is there a like baseline sort of like copywriting formula that you're thinking through as you're writing this particular type of content where you're trying to show that transformation, even at a high level?
Yeah, it's pretty much a story. Like you start by painting the life before. So like, where were they at when they came to you? Were they struggling with this? Were they frustrated with that? Set the scene of what they were struggling with, because that's super important, because ideally that's what you kind of want to be writing in your hook, and your hook is going to attract people with that same problem. So you kind of set the scene where they were before, then you like describe the obstacles that they have in front of them. So they don't have the time to post, they've tried posting, but the engagement sucks, they don't know the right engagement strategy, all those kind of potential obstacles that they had. But you're explaining the real obstacles that they had. You're not just making things up. And then you start bringing in like, okay, this is what we needed to do to overcome these obstacles. So you're kind of demonstrating that you know what needs to be done to fix it. And then you show the results of what you did. And ideally, those results would be good results. As realistic as possible is the ideal. You know, in some cases, if you've like absolutely blown someone up by like 10,000% or something, it almost sounds a bit unbelievable. So you kind of have to try and like scale it down a bit. Not that that happens that often, obviously, but yeah, it's just showing a kind of story, you know, like where they were before, what the problems were, how you were going to fix it, and then what happened afterwards. And then you CTA to reach out or do something.
Yeah, love that. That's super tangible and tactical that folks can take away. And shoot, I'm going to take that away and I'm going to start doing some more of that as we get rolling. I think it's a super smart way to start out the week too, and be able to at least plot that in somewhere in your distribution schedule as you're trying to share that content out. So number three on your list is client problem. I'm curious, is it similar to the overall sort of maybe story aspect, or are you thinking about building out a client problem with a different type of framework?
This one's kind of less result orientated and more kind of dialing in on a specific problem. So for example, a post I wrote that would have been under the category of client problem, it'd be like hook writing advice I gave to a client yesterday, insert the advice, and then kind of show examples of what you mean. So if a client sent me a piece of content, for example, for me to review and send back to them, if I noticed that if there was something in their hook which I saw wrong or something they could improve on, I'll make a note of that, take it out and use that as a content idea. And by getting your ideas from the things that you're doing with your client, those problems that you're solving with your client, you know that by putting that out, you're increasing the odds of attracting more people like that client that you're working with right now. So if it's a client that you're working with that you're not getting very good results with, or they you just don't work very well with them, then probably not the best idea to use that as an idea. But you want to be taking those kind of problems that you're solving with those clients that you're doing well with and use that as content to attract people who are in similar situations.
One tip I've even been doing for myself is, because a lot of times using calls to do this, like, or if you're in a larger org, being able to look back at calls that, you know, especially if you're a cog within the machine in a larger org, you might not ever have a real conversation with a customer just based on that. So you might have to pull that. But now with tools like Whisper or even ChatGPT, like, you can pretty quickly, for anybody who's struggling, to be like, we all know what problems we solve, but sometimes it's like you're so close to it that you can't actually, like, what am I solving here? Like, you can take a transcript, you can take an audio source file like that and just kind of train the AI in a little bit. Like, I've started to do this where it's like, all right, this is who I am, this is what I'm offering, this is what I'm selling. Like, what are the main problems that this client had based on this call? And you can get some fantastic like lists of pieces of content that then go be able to write content on.
My ghostwriting process is pretty much like the foundation of it is based from a call every month or a client voice noting something, which I then just take out and use as content. Because, you know, you can kind of start to identify these, what a problem kind of sounds like or where you can go with a question. So, yeah. And, you know, if you are in a team, like you mentioned, you know, likelihood is you're in some kind of Slack message stream. So if there's messages and things popping around in there, you can probably get some ideas out.
Yeah, I think the idea, like, especially with the problems, like just the basic notes app on my phone, like I'm constantly trying to write down things that come to mind. And that's another thing too, yeah. I think for folks trying to get started with, especially this like lower, I was going to say like, it's not lower quality. It's just people think of LinkedIn content as a little different than like a full on blog post or a full on podcast or like, you know, it gives you that flexibility to be able to try things out quickly and validate ideas. And so I think if you've got an idea that you want to validate, like, shoot, create a piece of content, see how it hits. If it hits, turn it into something bigger. Which leads us into number four, my favorite on your list, Matt, repurpose, right? So talk to me a little bit about repurposing, your thoughts on it. It's something that I think is a massive cheat code when you build enough of a library of content to just start picking and choosing things that hit in the past. But kind of walk me through your ideas on repurposing and how you're using it as part of your weekly schedule.
So your course actually really helped me kind of look at a better way of viewing it and structuring it, which I've never really considered before in that kind of way. But I think where a lot of people actually get misled with repurposing is they think it's you take a post that you posted before and just repost it. But in reality, repurposing is I leave comments on people's posts every day. I write short tweets on Twitter. I write sort of three or four tweets on Twitter every day. I write a weekly email newsletter. I have lead magnets. I have a course, 2-hour long course, and also my ghostwriting service. So this is all content, right? So like often I'll, for writing a newsletter, I'll flick through my course and think, okay, what's a kind of key idea from that? Or what's a kind of small idea from my course, which I can pull out and just expand on. And then I know that I'm always on track in terms of kind of what I'm talking about, who I'm talking to, because it all relates back to my course. So it relates back to what I'm doing. In terms of the more kind of like, I guess, content-based, short-form content-based kind of repurposing, what I'm doing a lot at the moment is taking, like I said, I post sort of three or four tweets every day. I'll take like the best tweet and throw that up on a screenshot on LinkedIn and then kind of add some more context to it within the caption. You see quite a lot of people doing this, obviously, on LinkedIn. It works, you know, because you've kind of gone out there and validated a quick idea. That becomes the main part of the content. And then you're layering more ideas within that. And then if that does well, then, you know, you can turn it into a newsletter or something bigger or something like that. So yeah, it's just looking at everything you're doing and thinking, do I really need to be creating brand new stuff every time I write this? But yeah, sometimes you can just be as lazy as copy a tweet over or something like that. And that's fine.
It's funny how not complicated some of the stuff is and how complicated we make it in terms of like, yeah. Oh, I've got to, you know, my audience is going to know that I took this thing from over here. And if they do, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to hate you for that, right? Like, it's funny. I've been thinking more about this concept and I posted about it earlier this week in terms of like, you have to be in front of your audience all the time in different formats for them to get to know, like, and trust you. That's how you become known, like, and trusted today. It's not the best advertising. It's not the best, the flashiest thing. It's honestly not even the best content. The best content doesn't win. The best ideas don't win. The best products don't win. I heard somebody say this yesterday and it absolutely blew my mind. It was like, they gave this example of a nanny. They were like, you're more likely to trust the person you know than the person who's qualified. And they gave this example that I was like blown away by. They said, you're more likely to trust the 16-year-old down the street that you know to watch your kids than a British, you know, a nanny that you've never met in your entire life, who's infinitely more qualified to do that job. But you don't know them, you don't like them, and you definitely don't trust them at this point. So it's so just like, you know, so interesting and to think about how our content can play in with that. And I think repurposing plays just such a big role in that, where for folks who, you know, creating a lot of content, I'll put that in quote, is a lot of work. And that's where repurposing comes in, because you can make it so much easier on yourself.
Of course. And a big part of how I kind of look at repurposing as well is, you know, you put these, if you're using your content to attract your kind of ideal customer, if something lands particularly well, you know that you've hit on a trigger that is going to attract that type of person, right? So you'd be smart to say, okay, well, that clearly resonates with that person. So I need to write a lot more content around this specific thing. You know, it's like right now I'm just started a kind of new email promotion campaign with the subject line. If I notice something performs well and I get signups from it for the workshop I'm promoting, I'm going to keep hitting that trigger over and over again because I know that it works. So it's just more effective marketing if you take what works and do it more.
Yeah. And it just blows my mind how, and I don't know if this is how it is with your clients, but in particular in like corporate B2B clients, a lot of the folks that I work with, how it's so tempting to want to move on to the next thing and not double down on what's working. You know, do your clients sort of struggle with that ever to like, or maybe you're doing a good, maybe they're working with you because, you know, that's why, but like to want to like, man, aren't we talking about this thing enough here, Matt? Like, can we move on?
Yeah, you still get it. You still do get it. I think especially when you're paying for someone to write for you, you're paying for someone to do your content. I can kind of get it. If you just see that they're like kind of putting out similar things every time, it kind of feels like, all right, or what am I paying you for? But it's like, well, this is working. So like, I'm just going to keep doing it.
That is funny. I wonder even too, and if you're like a content marketer listening to this show, like shoot me an email and tell me, because I'm curious, like, is that part of the internal struggle for us too, as somebody who worked in-house for over a decade of like, well, we want to show we're doing something new. We want to show, you know, yeah. We don't want the, you know, the boss to show up every day and be like, oh, you're still just doing that, huh? Oh, you're still just writing that one blog post a week and showing up on LinkedIn 5 days. Like, that's all you're doing? Anything new for us here? So I wonder if that's a challenge that's just kind of inherent, but that is funny. All right. Number five, and you've got newsletter promo because obviously you have a newsletter, but I think if we just go larger scale, like content promo, you've got something new that's coming out. You've got a webinar, you've got a newsletter, you've got a workshop, you've got that sort of thing. So maybe talk to me a little bit about how to do that and do it in a way that's valuable and not just purely promotional.
Yeah. So I tend to just try and like ignore that this is like a promo post and just write a piece of content that is valuable. I tend to just follow the same kind of rough structure for all of my posts, start with a problem, agitate it, and then give a solution or what my solution is. That can be long or short, but typically I'll write the post like that and then kind of segue into the thing that I'm linking to, which in my case is usually a newsletter or an article. And typically the piece of content that is leading like the bulk of the content, it's either a summary of the whole newsletter or the whole article, or it's just that kind of intro section, which now I've written more newsletters, written more articles for the website, just newsletters actually. Now that I've done that more, I know that when I'm writing the start of that newsletter, I need to structure it in a way that I can just go, yoink, put it onto LinkedIn, put it onto Twitter, and then it just saves me a bunch of time when I come back around to it. So it's, who was it? It was someone, I can't remember who it was, but the idea of like no-click content where it's...
Oh yeah, Amanda from SparkToro, yeah.
So obviously there is a click to be had here, but the idea around that like someone wouldn't have to click anything to get value from what you're posting.
Yeah, I talk about that a lot too, about like for repurposing in particular, like platform native. So like I've got this thing, let's call it a blog post. How do I make that platform native to where it's going to go? How do I make that platform native for LinkedIn? How do I make that platform native for an email newsletter? Not copy paste, not just throw in whatever. And I think what you said though is key is, and I actually had this realization with the client the other day as well, which is we were talking kind of back and forth and she said, this is going to change how I create content, knowing I need to get it out into the world. And I'm like, yes, exactly that. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. That, again, going back to your course, that was probably the biggest takeaway as well for me. Like, I'm creating like this newsletter. How is this going to then transfer onto LinkedIn? How is it going to transfer onto Twitter? if you have multiple channels which you're distributing content onto, you just have to do that. Otherwise, it does just make it really difficult to actually repurpose that content.
Matt, you're going to sell some content repurposing roadmap courses throughout this episode, I can tell. So yeah, thank you. All right, we got two left. We'll go real quick on them. Let's just real quick touch on customer testimonial, which is number six. How are you thinking about a testimonial maybe different than the first bit where we're sort of talking about client results, and kind of talk to me about the maybe the, just the differences there?
The big distinction for me here is that this would generally be a testimonial that a customer has left around my product or some kind of digital product that I sell. That would be the biggest distinction, but also it's actually a formal testimonial. So like a video, someone's recorded a video and said, da 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 da, or they've left a written testimonial saying so-and-so. The difference in that and the client result, I'm actually just commentating on the result as opposed to taking a specific testimonial or something like that. But yeah, testimonials, it's a form of social proof. There's times when I've posted testimonials on LinkedIn and again, written the kind of caption in the same way that I was describing the client result, and it can drive thousands of pounds of sales just directly from that if you link to it and link to your product and your landing page. So yeah, social proof is a big one.
Love it. Yeah, I like that distinction too. Like, you're not sort of summarizing what's happening. You might be, but really the bulk of that is that screenshot. It's that video. It's that sort of like in your face, like, hey, somebody else is saying great things about this thing.
Yeah, it's that. That's the big distinction. It's like, nobody markets your product better than your customers, right? So like, that's the kind of idea behind it.
1000%. And then the last one here is stories, which I loved. You had this line, like, personal content can get quite cringy at times, right? Like, and I think like that's maybe the balance, especially on like LinkedIn, there's the whole side of that. And so, but I'm just curious, like, stories in general, right? Like, it's not that it has to be like you spilling everything about your life, but I'm just curious, how do you think about the stories that you do end up telling and sharing on these social platforms versus maybe the ones you don't, but really just really focusing on the ones that you do and kind of how you're thinking about what stories to tell.
Yeah, no, you're right. I definitely had that as well when I first started writing online. It's like, I don't want to tell a story. I don't want to like let people into my life. I'm a fairly private person. So like, I don't like to get too emotional and cringy in these things. Like, it's not for me. I would rather not post that and save and then get thousands of likes. So the way I look at it is in terms of my business or my kind of growth, I sometimes just use it as a bit of a kind of cathartic thing and kind of a way to just document my journey. The post where I kind of open up about, you know, a particular struggle that I've had in my business journey and then explain kind of how I'm going to overcome that now or how I did overcome it in the past or kind of my take on that. They're the posts that always do pretty well for me. And I think the big thing from the kind of story posts is kind of making it relevant to what you're actually doing in your business. For me anyway, for my clients, I never write just random stories. It's always wrapped around, you know, them building their agency or their views on entrepreneurship or something like that. It's always to do with their journey and their kind of growth. That instantly, that makes it feel a lot less kind of cringy, emotional, a bit more kind of like purposeful, you know. And also when you talk about it from the kind of point of your business, it's relevant to what you do. So if it does go big, because it's a broader piece of content, so it has that potential, if it does go big, then there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on you and people are going to then know what you do for your work.
Yeah, like I'm looking at the example you have here and the opening line, and is, I spent 10 years in marketing before quitting and earning over 15x my yearly salary in the first 2 years of running a one-person copywriting business. So there's a unique story there. Like, I'm already interested, but then it's also, if I only read that one line, I'd be like, Matt runs a one-person copywriting business.
Yeah. Know?
So it's an interesting, like, I love the way you frame that up of like, tell a story, but, you know, especially on a platform like LinkedIn, hopefully tie back to something that's a little bit tied back to what you do, what you solve, all those type of things.
Sure, yeah. And that I think that's probably where most people go wrong, the stories. They just tell a story just for engagement's sake. Obviously, the idea of a story is that it generally goes a bit broader, but most people that buy my courses or buy a kind of lower ticket product from me, they buy it because they liked me and they like the kind of way I view things the way I do things. That's a big part of your content, especially with when it's personal content as well. You need to kind of communicate your personality and the way you kind of think about things.
Yeah. And I think that's why a lot of, like, right now, a hot topic within larger companies as well is like, how do we get our employees to do some of this individual posting on LinkedIn and things like that, for that exact reason of like, people connect with people. I'm much more likely to buy this large enterprise software if I know Joe in sales and Susie in marketing and, you know, so-and-so over at customers. But like, if I know them and feel like, you know, they've got good stuff, like, I'm much more likely to go over there and hang out with them than I am for, you know, nameless, faceless company. And it's the same thing for individuals and for creators and all of those folks too. Like, I've had the same thing where it's like, I was on a random call one time and someone was like, oh, I'm a huge Distribution First fan. I'm a huge fan of what you're doing. And it's like, I've never talked to you in my entire life. That's amazing. You know? And yeah. So it's just like, it's cool to see that happen in a way where it's like, okay, the only reason that's even possible is because I post content all the time.
And like, there's people that I've spoken to, obviously, since I've been over the last couple, two years, since I've been writing online, and they say, you know, I want to do it. I want to like start my own thing. And I'm like, okay, well, start writing online. And they're like, well, I can't because I have a job. I can't be writing online. Like, they would fire me, or they think it's weird, or alerts. Like, so there's like instantly this barrier just because you already have a job. And that's like, it's just crazy. Like, I look back at me starting writing online, which really enabled me to become a copywriter and make money doing this, was that I quit my job before doing that.
Gave you the freedom.
Yeah. So that, like, if I was still in my job when I was kind of transitioning, I think I just wouldn't have, well, I wouldn't have even transitioned. I don't think it had to be a on or off, like a light switch, you know?
Well, awesome, man. It's been so fun to have you on. Like, I love this content. I think it's going to be super, super helpful for individuals who want to start creating content, for companies who want to create better content, creating a schedule for what they're doing with LinkedIn. We touched a whole bunch of different things. I would love to just give you a hot second here to shout out anything. I know you've got a couple of things coming down the pike here. So why don't you just kind of tell, A, obviously where people can find you, and B, kind of what you have coming out soon.
Yeah, so you can find me on LinkedIn. I think my username is MattJBarker1. On Twitter, I'm at MattBarkerCopy. I post there every single day of the week. I write a newsletter called The Digital Writer, so you can sign up to that on both my platforms. And I have a 2-hour copywriting course called The Digital Copywriter. That's actually relaunching on the 1st of March. So the plan is for that to either be readily available as an evergreen product, or I'll be promoting it every now and then to make it available. So yeah, that'll be pretty helpful for anyone who's looking to learn about how to copyright specifically for their business. You know, it's aimed at solopreneurs, freelancers, founders who are in the digital space.
Amazing, man. Well, Matt, it's been a blast chatting. We'll have to catch up soon. And thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's been good.
All right, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Distribution First, and thank you for listening all the way through. I appreciate you so, so much. And I hope you're able to apply what you learned in this episode one way or another into your content strategy as well. Speaking of strategy, we have a lot of things going on this year that are going to help you build your brand, 10x your content, and transform the way you do content marketing. Make sure to subscribe to the show and sign up for my newsletter at justinsimon.co so you don't miss a thing. I look forward to serving you in the next episode as well. And until then, take care, and I'll see you next time.